Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and I have in studio today my friend who's a counselor, professor, and author, Todd Mulliken. So I'm looking forward to that. We are going to talk today about what the Bible says about communication skills. And I've got a very difficult question to ask Todd to get things started. Todd, are you ready for a very difficult question right off the bat?
Let's go.
All right.
Sure, I'll do my best.
How should you communicate truth and do so truthfully? See, I thought that's kind of a trick question.
That is.
Yeah, and you don't have to answer right away. You can think about it.
Okay.
But that's one of the questions I want to address. Because obviously, if we're going to be good, faithful communicators, we're going to tell each other the truth. We're going to build each other up. We're going to admonish one another with truth. We're going to bless others by speaking the truth.
Yes.
But communicating the truth, you have to make sure you do it truthfully.
Yes.
Does that sound confusing?
No, it does. Actually, it feels pretty clear.
Oh,
sorry.
Good. No,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all I got. It'd be a long hour if you can't fill.
I think the first one we're going to talk about will add some seasoning to that.
Okay. Should we start? How do you
sure.
want to start?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I'm thinking of the book of Hebrews where it says, you know, make every effort, not an occasional effort, every effort to live in peace with all people and to be holy. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
That's so true.
See to it that no one misses the grace of God and wait for it, and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to hear from me a fair amount about the first concept, which is the process and the posture of validation. But I'm going to add what you're seeing, too.
Okay.
Because it's very important to do
okay.
both.
And I love Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Mm.
And I would imagine living at peace means you're being truthful.
Yeah. Yep. And I think you and I have also talked about the difference between, you know, the biblical mandate that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount of be blessed are the peacemakers,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to be peacekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. We don't want to just keep peace.
We want to make it.
Make it.
Yeah. So, here's another verse, Todd Mulliken. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
It's really good.
Well, scripture. So.
I know.
Nothing I got. Todd Mulliken is my guest. You can learn about him at his website. Is it up?
It is. I haven't checked lately.
Haven't
it might
you?
Be down. I have
okay.
no idea.
Have you paid the bill this month?
Questionable. Yeah.
Okay.
I just got back from Colombia for a week, so I don't know.
Colombia, like South America?
Yeah.
Why am I just finding this out now?
I don't know.
Seriously, shouldn't you have texted me? Hey, Bill, I'm going to Colombia. What were you doing there?
We were providing, my wife and I were doing training for Opportunity International, and we were training people who are working with the poorest of the poor in the world and giving them some, we did a lot of listening really, Bill.
Okay.
You know, to their stories and to the staff that are on the ground doing all the good work of walking alongside people that are in constant trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did some stuff on stress and anxiety and trauma triggers, and Laura did her work on understanding sex trafficking, understanding what child abuse looks like. So very heavy topics, but it was a very fruitful time of people opening up and teams getting closer. So,
nice.
Because I was out of the country, I may not have paid my bill.
Well, just so you know, I just went on the website, and it's up and running.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it's Todd Mulliken, M-U-L-L-I-K-E-N.
Yes.
ToddMulliken.com. todd.com. You can learn more about Todd and his books and check out everything about Todd and his amazing ministry and business he's got there. All right, Todd, I've got one more verse, and we'll get into your material.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin.
See, now you're sprinkling all that good stuff on what you started with, right? Because sometimes if I'm telling truth, I'm doing it in a way that I want to make sure the other person really understands. You know, in
like,
a way that's more interrogating.
A stinger in that one?
A stinging, right?
Okay.
I'm stinging with what I think is conviction. So, but am I really having an invitation here, or am I just worried about making sure the truth gets out there?
Hmm.
So if I'm supposedly content in my walk with Jesus and confident in the truth, then I need to know, I need to become all things to all people in order to save some, as Paul says. So I'm going to do it well. And just one of the things I ask clients about over time is like, hey, what are some of the things that you notice are really important for you in your story? And what do you think is missing? And many times I hear from people, Bill, is that especially people that, you know, I think you're very much like this. You're really for the other, and you take that command from Jesus seriously. So you might ask the other person about what's going on and ask them about their story and what they're doing. And a lot of times I hear from people that, both Christians and non-Christians alike, that other people really don't ask them about them. You know, they're just interested in sharing what they want to share.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also not interested in validating the other person. So I think validation is a huge skill that's elusive when we want to make sure we're sharing what we want to share. And so that's why I think James was doing a lot of watching. And James, in the book of James, you know, is real clear about be quick to listen, James 1:19.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to speak, slow to anger. So what validation means is, so you're with a friend at work, you're with your spouse, you're with an in-law, you're with somebody that's really, just have a great, easy relationship with, you're with somebody that's really difficult. We always just get to, like, understand what the other person is experiencing, and when they're talking, we're not just coming back with something right away, we're validating what they're saying. But validating doesn't mean we're agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
But it means we're hearing what they're saying so that they feel heard and known and noticed by the person that supposedly is wanting to speak the truth of the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So whatever they've said has been put on the table, and it's out there now for us to further discuss, but we're not pushing away or we're not agreeing with it. We're just letting it get in a position where it's part of the conversation.
And we go for the next step, in my opinion, which is, you know, it doesn't mean we have to sound like therapists, but I can see, I hear
well,
why
you
you're angry.
To.
What's up?
You need,
I do.
You need to sound like a therapist.
I do.
I don't.
From,
you do.
From 9 to 5, anyway. No. The idea there is I am really trying to understand what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm not in agreement, I'm understanding what they're feeling or thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big miss for a lot of folks. I know I miss it a lot because I am very intent on saying what I want to say next, and my mind is naturally going there. And so the posture of validation just creates an inviting atmosphere where people want to dialogue about a nickel and dime thing or about a really delicate topic scripturally that we viscerally disagree on anywhere along the line. So validation is a forward move because we're content in Jesus to hear what the other person is saying,
mm-hmm.
and spending enough time giving back to them what we're hearing them say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus just kind of, yeah. And now my turn. And
I get it. We're exchanging parallel monologues.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Well, that's kind of what we do, though.
I know.
Because I've got the next thing ready to say what I'm going to say, and I'm kind of just waiting for you to stop talking so I can say what I'm going to say. So I don't really have to listen as much as I'm just getting ready to say my next thing.
Yeah.
Which is horrible communication, right?
I don't think we should put that in your rules of engagement.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just saying I think that's a little bit how we communicate.
I agree.
And I read a book years ago, and I had the author on the show years ago as well, but it was the lost art of listening, how very difficult good listening is. And one of the rules of listening is make sure the other person has completed their thought and have come to a pause where they're not still talking, but they've completed their thought. And wow. When you do that, sometimes the next thing I was going to say, I can't keep it in my head.
Yeah.
By the time they finish their thought, I go, it's gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we have a tendency of jumping in and interrupting, because if I don't start talking now, it's gone.
Mm.
But I did find that to be a very helpful thing to say, I'm not going to open my mouth again until I know my guest has finished their sentence.
You remember practicing that a little bit after?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that like?
The most exhausting thing ever.
Wow.
But in the next 3 days, I think that's all that lasted.
It was three days.
But in those 3 days, Todd, I had more people say, that is one of the best conversations I've had in a while.
Wow.
And I go, yeah, I'm exhausted just from listening.
Wow.
But that was their version of it. So.
Now, extroverts like me, we find interruptions stimulating.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
And introverts find interruptions very distracting.
Mm-hmm.
So me as an extrovert, I'm ready to just to kind of jump in. Hey, I love you. I'm for you. I'm not even care. I don't care if you're done yet. I mean, I do care, but I don't think that you mind if I interrupt you. So that's where I need to make sure I know my audience, and I know that validation really matters, and that's that art of listening. And I just think there's a higher bar for us. I think part of me is just like knowing, like, golly, divorce rates are the same between Christians and non-Christians. So Christians, sometimes we don't act any differently than others. And I just, get weighed down by that sometimes. So when I hear from people like, golly, validation really matters, and it's a skill that we really promote in my industry for healthy communication and for people to feel known and noticed and heard, which is, we want people to know that. I mean, we have the saving love of Christ in us, so we want them to know that they really matter to God, and they matter to us, even if we completely disagree and we need to speak some truth and have a time of admonishment. But I would offer, even in a time of admonishment, there is the art of listening and not just me interrogating through admonishment.
Mm-hmm. Todd Mullican is my guest, and Todd, one of the nice compliments I get kind of regularly here is people will say, I appreciate the way you let your guests talk. Little do they know, I'm a talk show host that doesn't like talking. So I'm all in favor of my guests doing 99% of the talking.
But even today, and most times, because I'm usually in studio with you,
yeah,
is you have great eye contact and you do let me finish.
You're my guest.
I know.
I want you to finish.
But how about that idea is just like a great idea that we want to treat people like they're a guest. We're for them and we see them and we know them. So validation is something, and you said it perfectly, Bill, where you needed to be really intentional for those 3 days. I wonder if it would have stayed exhausting. I mean, do you have any thought about that? Do you think it would have become less exhausting over time? Or is that an unfair question?
I don't know, Todd, because if you take up running and you're, 3 days into it and you go, this is too hard.
Right.
But had you just stayed on a little bit at a time, you might have ended up being a lifelong runner. And maybe I would end up being a better lifelong listener. So who knows?
Yeah.
But he did make the comment that we have a tendency of just carrying on parallel monologues with each other. And we don't really do a very good job of listening. Not that we always have to parrot back what I just heard.
Right.
But you can ask questions that indicate to the person you're speaking to that, well, you really heard what I just said. What a great follow-up question.
And especially if they know that I think completely differently than they do.
Yes.
And I'm going to love them so much that that love is better than a clanging cymbal, as the scriptures say. That love matters more than the knowledge I'm going to set forth in that minute. So it doesn't mean we avoid the truth, to your great point earlier, but boy, the truth better create an invitation to it versus a last word, Larry kind of invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So validation is a huge skill, but what I love about what you said is that we believe very strongly in my field that it's the practice that matters. So I have had clients recently take an extra couple of minutes in their devotional time after they're done with that, is to take an extra couple minutes and just pray through that idea and think about and pray about what it would look like to be validating of the other. It's interesting when I hand out a form, Bill, about, hey, what are your top needs when doing that with couples or families? It's so interesting that most people say they just want to feel accepted for who they are, because most people don't, which doesn't mean we accept everything. You know what I mean? It's not about like a passive avoidance of difficult things. It just means like, I can have a truth conversation that's difficult, but boy, they can leave going like, you know, they really heard me. I don't agree with what they're saying, or, you know, they say they love Jesus and I don't. But boy, they modeled. You know, I want people to leave situations that we're in feeling like that, you know, so that the gospel moves that way towards them.
I think, Todd, that's maybe one of your five A's. At one point, I think I had the five A's and the five P's memorized, but I think the one was accept the person for who they are, not for the person you want them to be.
That's right.
Did I say that right?
One of the top is perfect. Okay. Yeah, you're amazing. That's the you must really listen well.
So. I do. I mean, I just think that the five A's and the five P's is so solid.
Thank you.
And maybe we should do that again one of these days.
Yeah, and that one lands on the female side of what they need to work on the most, because the vulnerability I've noticed with women in marriage is they will look at what their husband isn't yet versus what he is already. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not accepting the good parts. They're looking still at what he isn't doing right, and men tend to feel like they're not doing anything right sometimes. And the men have their own issues, which is they don't pursue one of the P's. They don't pursue their wives enough, so the woman doesn't feel noticed or chosen or seen.
Sounds messy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll continue talking about what the Bible says about communication skills and how we communicate truth with love. And one of the things Todd has said to me, and you've heard it on this show, is to speak without being offensive and to listen without being defensive. So if you have a question or comment, you can text it over 877-933-2484. Be right back.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story, or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Todd Mullikin's my guest. We're talking about how to communicate truth and do so truthfully, and what the Bible teaches about communication skills. Already had a text come in. Did Jesus always speak without being offensive? And the answer is no. But he had a target audience. He was speaking offensively.
You brood of vipers.
You brood of vipers.
Whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
To the Pharisees, though, because they thought they were a big deal.
They thought they were a big deal.
And had all the answers.
Yeah.
So we better not come off like we have all the answers.
Amen. All right. So, Todd, let's get back into the topic of how we, you know, when I think of one of the wisest things I can do, and I pray about this before I come into the studio every day, is to weigh my words and to make sure I think before I speak, because every word gets recorded. Mm. You can't take back some stuff as much as you want to, right?
Yeah, and that gets in a little bit of what I was going to talk about next. It's called the stop skill, S-T-O-P. So these are moments where it could be like what you're talking about, where you just are ready to say something instead of waiting. It could be a moment when you are really feeling dysregulated with anxiety and fear and intrepidation and overwhelmed, and you just speak too quickly. It could be that same moment when you're anxious and you just shut down and you feel frozen.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the impulsivity of somebody being more of a fire-ready aim person, where they don't think before they speak. And so there's a lot of different moments, Bill, where if we could do the be still and know that I am God idea in those difficult moments versus creating that, would you say videotape or that audio tape moment, right, mm-hmm. where we're creating words, as you said earlier from Proverbs, you know, the recklessness that can happen. So, I guess I don't want us to always be fearful of what we're going to say, but I'd like us to know that we have an opportunity to use a skill called a stop skill. So can I go through that for a little bit?
Yeah, please.
So stop stands for stop. So the S in stop means we're going to stop for just a second. And you kind of modeled that earlier just by stopping really and listening. But let's say I'm feeling really upset about something in that moment, and instead of firing right back and listening to defend, I can just take a moment and stop. And it is just a second. Then I'm going to do the T, which is next. I'm going to take a breath, because God has designed our bodies that way, where our sympathetic nervous system under stress is fighting or flighting. Mm-hmm. And then our parasympathetic nervous system comes in with some coolant to cool us down a little bit. So we need to give it that second, not, a minute, but just a second or two to regulate that. And we're intentional about that. But you've even done that when I've been here today, after I've done speaking or you're about to say something, you give it a second or two. So that's the T, is I'm going to take a breath. The O might take a few seconds, and that is I'm observing what I'm thinking and feeling. A perfect world, that's where you and I get into that Philippians 4, and we bring the Holy Spirit in, who already indwells in us, and says, and we just go, I think I'm frustrated with how Bill said that to me, and I feeling like a bit hurt by what he just said. So that's what's going on there. I'm taking a second, not a minute and a half, but just a second to I'm thinking this, I'm feeling that. So now I got that. And then I do the P, which is I'm going to proceed mindfully in Christ and say something back to Bill. So that skill can be as short as a few seconds in real time, Bill, or it can be with that spouse, with that friend, with that colleague, with that family member, where we actually say, I just need to take some time. Again, so I've had some families talk about a stop skill, and they just I just need to take a stop skill because I'm feeling really overwhelmed and emotionally dysregulated. And they're not doing every 5 seconds, but just they have, if you will, 3 timeouts a day to use, if you will, mm-hmm. to take that time to go and regulate with the Lord and sort it out. And you don't have to do the stop monomic, but I think it's a helpful thing to do to, again, stop, to take a breath, to observe, and then proceed mindfully in the mind of Christ. And say, this is what I'm for, this is what I need to say that's hard or that's natural or that I wasn't willing to say, but I need to. So just taking that minute in real time or taking, a couple hours if we need to, when we have that kind of space and time, is a good skill to be adding. I'd much rather have us do that than do the fire ready aim and do a lot of cleanup all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then create resentment banks.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about that when you hear that?
Oh, I think it's spot on. I just had another follow-up from someone who texted earlier, but also said, so Jesus can be offensive, but us not so much. And I think we're talking about two very different things.
Correct.
Jesus is addressing things very differently than when I say, try not to speak offensively. If you said, if Laura said to you, your wife said to you, Todd, you left the back door wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, you could have said that differently.
Mm-hmm.
You could have said, just a reminder, when I got home, the door was open.
Yep.
I know we've talked about this, and mm-hmm. and so it just ended up open again.
Right.
I think that's not offensive.
Right.
And you don't hear that in a defensive way. But if you hear, you left the door wide open again, I think instantly you feel a little defensive.
Correct.
So I think that's the point I think we're trying to make.
Correct.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
Not at all.
Okay.
And again, the Lord, as we, he is our model, and we'll notice that when most of the time he spoke in a way that drew people to him in ways that we get to do. So there may be a moment in your life when you're with somebody that's extremely Pharisaical and is being really harsh and abusive, and then, yeah, you can have a hard moment. And of course, we have the right to speak harshly if we would like, I guess. But again, I think that's kind of taking something and using it in a moment when, if we look at the whole of scriptures, we see that Jesus was doing what he said he was, which is trying to make peace.
Mm-hmm.
And blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah. And when Jesus is turning over the tables in the temple,
yes,
I would imagine he's got righteous anger going.
He does.
And he wasn't trying to not be offensive at that moment.
Correct. Yeah. And especially for those of us that are have maybe been really like internally feeling like we haven't said things when we've needed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're trying to have a voice or find our voice a little bit. It's important that to go back to what you said at the top of the show is to speak truth. But I'm always saying that we can do it in a way that's invitational,
mm-hmm.
not interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Todd, another comment is that you mentioned Christians and non-Christians have similar divorce rates,
mm-hmm.
but the divorce rates among practicing Christians apparently is lower. Couples who pray together daily have an extremely low divorce rate. Also, many people whose marriages are troubled or on the verge of divorce turn or return to the church for help.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. All right, we'll take a little break. Todd Mullican is my guest. We are chatting today about how to communicate truth and do it well and what the Bible does teach about communication skills and to always weigh your words and think before you speak. As it says in Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. If you have a question or comment about our topic today, or for Todd personally, 877-933-2484.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Let's get it started. Jump in your car.
Yeah.
What's for dinner?
Hey.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
Well, there's so much we can learn in Scripture about how to speak truth and how to speak with kindness and gentleness. And also verses like Proverbs 13 that says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. I always think it's important to weigh your words and think before you speak, which is not always easy to do, but my guest Todd Mullican is helping us a great deal today with an acronym for the word stop. So the S would just be for the stop part, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the T would be for take a breath. You don't have to go into some breathing exercise off your app on your phone. But also just to take a second because your body gets flooded, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate increases, and it is important to try to calm that engine down a little bit before you open your mouth, right?
Big time.
Okay. Take it over from here.
And then we observe what we're thinking and feeling. And when I'm mindful of it, then I am taking a second just to try to recognize the wise counselor, the spirit of truth, and trying to have the Holy Spirit help me look at what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, because I'm bringing my prayer and petitions to mm-hmm. God there. And Jesus left us with the Spirit to help us in these situations. So that's the O part, is observing quickly what I'm thinking and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just taking that, I always say let each other in to what we're thinking versus taking it out on each other. So this stop skill gives us a chance to do a better job of letting the other person into what we're experiencing and then create a volley over to the other versus taking out my own hurt on them, right? So how does that? And then the P, because the P then stands for I'm going to proceed mindfully in Christ by trying to be mindful about saying something that's very, let's say it's really a difficult conversation, it's hard, on a topic that's delicate, for example, but I'm going to say what I believe to be true in Christ about it, but I'm going to invite the other person in. And I want to hear why they feel the way they do. I'm not going to lose my mind if I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, God's still on the throne. He still indwells in us. And so the stop skill just gives us a better chance to know we're for the other. We're becoming all things to all people in order to save some, to create healthy dialogues with somebody that's really, our best friend, it comes pretty natural with, or somebody that's really, it's difficult to come natural with. So we use the stop skill quite a bit now, whether it, like I said earlier, Bill, whether it's a quick moment to stop or if we really need a break because this familial pattern of, you know, climbing to the top of Anger Mountain, I call it, is just getting difficult, or we just take some time to take a time out, which would then leads me to my third skill, which may take some time, but it's, I work with couples and families at doing redos. So let's say we try to have that conversation and it didn't go well, right? I'm bringing something up. And let's say you, the one you've just brought up, even though it's kind of a light one, my spouse leads out in a way that's more offensive, then I get defensive back, and then we mutually kind of out try to offend each other, and we're just both dysregulated and forget the fact that we love each other dearly and God's on the throne, and we both have said things that are hurtful. So now what do we do with that? Do we go to our local resentment banks and create a case against our spouse or against our family member, which is, I think, is the human thing to want to do? Or am I going to do this posture that I have couples and families do, which is we're gonna take a little bit of time and do that stop skill and take time, but we know we're committed to do a redo as a couple or as a family when it's a really difficult one. Again, we're not doing redos 5 times a day, but it's one of those conversations that's maybe happens once a quarter or once a week based on how difficult the familial patterns are or a friendship pattern or a couple pattern is. But here's the redo and see what you think. So the redo involves both people coming back and each person acknowledging what they were experiencing. So I would say in that case, you know, Lord, felt like you came, I was feeling like, you know, hurt by how you were speaking, and it was hard for me, and I felt a little bit insecure, and I really started to feel defensive, and that's kind of what was going on for me. Now, I also believe when I'm working with couples, you know, long-term work, then I also have them kind of get at root causes for their defensiveness or their guardedness, and sometimes it's family of origin patterns, sometimes it's historical trauma that they've gone through, sometimes it's just the couple themselves and their history of how they communicate under stress, but I'm going to bring forth a vulnerability there and say, yeah, and I think that's part of a cycle we get into, and I was just feeling really hurt by what happened. So I lead out with that. Now, her role then is to validate what I'm experiencing. And validate doesn't mean she's doing a happy dance. It means that she is listening. She's being quick to listen. And she's acknowledging the feelings I was having.
Even through maybe gritted teeth.
Correct. Okay. And she isn't saying, isn't this a beautiful moment? Let's light a candle, right? She's saying, yeah, like, I hear you, and I can see why you got angry with that, or mm-hmm. I see your frustration in that. I see that. I do. Mm-hmm. I see that. And it you know, and we can kind of go, well, Laura, you didn't say I'm sorry there. You know, so it's not about that. It's just a validation moment there where the receiver revalidates that they're not defensive. Mm-hmm. They're validating back, okay? Then my spouse does the same thing. She says what she was experiencing in that conversation, like, you know, yeah, I see where you went with that, and I see where what I did, but, you know, the guardedness that you had or how you responded got triggered me, and, you know, in my history with us, here's where I go with that, and also, because we're for each other, right? We're for, like, this secure attachment style. Jesus loves us and is for us and is wanting us to grow and heal our story. So in that moment where she's going to be vulnerable about what she was going through, then my role as a listener there then is to validate what she was going through.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's the first step in the redo, is each person is acknowledging what they were going through, the feelings they had. It's less of an attack on the other. It's more what they were going through and what they were experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And the receiver is going to validate, and then we're going to pass a baton over, if you will, and the other person is going to do the same thing. And we're going to have a speaker and listener volley like that. Make sense?
Not only does it make sense, but I start to hear the possibility for gentleness and kindness coming into the conversation during the redo.
Rules,
that wasn't present in the first time through.
Correct. Rules for holy living, right? Colossians 3, 12 through 17, all over it, right?
Yeah.
And so then we do the second part of the redo, which is even more vulnerable. And just so you know, in my work with couples, Bill, in my own life, I think I believe strongly in mutual vulnerability is our highest standard. Like, I'll be out of business when people like me and Laura go like, yeah, I think here's, you know, this is what I'm noticing. I was going through what God's put on my heart and my struggle today, and I've just been really struggling with anger. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm feeling really down or been really discouraged. I feel like I'm in a wilderness moment or two, and I think that's probably why I was so crabby last night. So when somebody leads out like that, then it gives their partner, you know, their friend or spouse or, you know, somebody that they're a good friend with, a chance to, like, just listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a spouse or it's a family member, it gets a chance to say, God, I'm so sorry about that, or it must be really hard, right? It gives a chance. The vulnerability creates a non-defensive pattern. It creates a time of invitational kind of holding each other a little bit. Instead, if I would have let out with, like, yeah, you know, it's been, you know, I've been kind of crabby, but really, you know, you're the one that's been kind of causing it for me. And as I think about it, like, here's some things that I've noticed, Lord, that you can really work on that I think, don't think you've got right yet with God. Right. So I could lead out that way instead. If I lead out, you know, I could lead out that way instead in a very, like, kind way of saying, you just don't get it yet.
Yeah, right.
And that's what usually we do.
Mm.
You know, if we're.
We think that's the most efficient.
Oh, gosh, right? It's brutal. So. That's the second step when we come back is that each person is going to say what they could have done different, and it's a game changer.
Ooh.
So that's where the vulnerability comes in, and that's where, you know, the come let us reason together from Isaiah comes in. That's when the, you know, we're for each other comes in. That's when the biblical mindset there of, like we talked at the top of the show from Hebrews, make every effort to be at peace with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to, you know, she's going to lead out with, yeah, I had a tough day and I let out in a way that was offensive to you, and that's on me. And if I were to redo that, here's how I want to redo that. And you did it perfectly, Bill. You said it would have been better for her to say, hey, you know, the door was open and I know we talked about it, but maybe next time.
Mm-hmm.
Love you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean she's tap dancing around. It just means she's being considerate.
Yeah.
But still speaking truth.
And she was not speaking in a way that was offensive to you. You were not listening in a defensive way. You were like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I guess I will be so much more conscientious next time I fly out the door.
Right.
To make sure it's closed.
And that's what I would say on my end when I would do my redo, when it's my turn to say what I could have done different.
Yeah.
And so then, Bill, what I like couples to do is I like them to be defined by their redos, not from their initial volleys.
I like that.
But most of us, we build resentment banks against the difficult times and we never celebrate the good. But a lot of times people don't do the redos. They just have emotional hangovers and resentment banks or just like letting it go maybe at their best, but still hanging on to the patterns and repeating the patterns.
And Todd Mullican, if you get better at doing the redos, is there a chance that you're building a better communication muscle so you may not be having the first episode in the first place?
Preach.
I'm preaching.
Yep,
I'm
right preaching. On.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I'm just thinking when you left the door open, there's probably three raccoons in your house. It kind of makes me laugh.
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
I appreciate the example there because that's really what it's about. But it's really, I'm getting a little bit excited here, sorry. But like, it's so transformative when families or couples or friends or business associates learn how to do redos. And, you know, when you and I as Christians are coming back with, can I have a redo on that? Again, I'm not asking people to do it 10 times a week. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just saying for the ones that like, ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
And then we kind of justify it or we pray it away versus like, Lord, what could I have done differently? And hold me in that, please, and convict me, Holy Spirit, about what I could have done different. When we make those changes, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've seen couples and families like really, like you just said, like the norm becomes better volleys initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then the inappropriate volleys are more the exception. They mm-hmm. happen, but they know the redos are something that helps them gain traction because it helps them be in their wise mind in Christ because now they've proceeded mindfully, but they're coming back again with not making cases against each other, but instead looking in their own mirror, but acknowledging what they were hurt by. So it's not like we're avoiding the pain or avoiding the hurt. We're acknowledging what we were hurt by because we could talk about really like painful, difficult discussions too versus a front door discussion.
Mm-hmm. Todd, what I really love about the redo idea is it seems that an apology might be the cherry on top of the whipped cream at the end of the redo.
Yep.
Because you can say, can I have a redo with that? Mm. And at the end of that, you say, I really am sorry. Versus just coming out and saying, hey, I'm sorry I left the door open.
Right.
Well, okay, well, thanks, but there's no meat on that bone.
No.
But if you say, can I just have a quick redo with you about that episode? And then you explain and you talk about feeling this way or that way, and you raced out and you forgot and you should have looked and you didn't, and then you've got a redo opportunity. And then at the end of that, you say, eh, I'm sorry too. It seems like it would be a good 1-2 punch.
It's really sweet.
Yeah.
And here's some difficult parts of it that can happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes the person who is ready to do the redo, the other person's not ready yet.
Good point.
And we know that to be true, and we've talked about that ahead of time when we talk about rules of engagement for redos.
Ooh. Can we go back to that? Rules of engagement on redos?
Yes.
Let's do that. Todd Mullican is my guest. Learn more about Todd at his website, I believe, is functional. ToddMullican.com. MULLIKEN, Todd Mullican, 2 D's, Mullican.com. Be right back. Hi, this is Bill Arnold. You might be the kind of person that goes to Paris and still listens to Faith Radio on the app. Or you might be more like the person that goes into the next room in your apartment and listens. The good news is using the app is just as easy in both places. Downloading the free app is crazy easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484 and click the link. And if you happen to be in Paris, there is a really nice little coffee shop not far from the Eiffel Tower that serves a really nice chocolate biscotti. I am welcoming once again Todd Mullican to my studio. He's a author, he's a professor, he's a counselor. You can learn about him at ToddMullican.com. So, Todd, as we talk about these redos, to me, this has jumped off the page. Sorry, but this is so good.
Mm.
There are rules of engagement for doing redos well. What are they?
Yeah, the first is ahead. We talk ahead of time about the fact that we get to know that redos are an option for us as a couple, because we know in our brokenness, when we're both in a hurt mindset, Bill, in that moment about the front door, or in that moment about something really, really challenging and painful, we know that in that moment of both people being in a hurt mindset, neither person will have the capacity to be enough for the other in that moment. And we know that to be true. Because if we don't know that to be true, then we get really hurt that the other person isn't being there for me when I need them to be. And that is what I've seen as where the train gets off the tracks if couples or families have that kind of expectation from the other. So what we know instead is that we're going to do our best to speak without offending, listen without defending. But what we also know is that are committed to do redos, right? And so that's the first thing we know as a couple or as a family. We can try a redo, and we're for that. So when one person is wanting to do a redo, but the other person isn't ready, we know about that too. We know there's sometimes different time zones, right? One person maybe, grew up where, there was just a lot of difficulty, and they were always the peacekeeper. And so they still got a little bit of that edginess of restlessness, of anxiety, of just wanting to make peace quick, so they want to do the redo quick. The other person maybe grew up or has a physiology that God gave them of just being really quiet under stress and really introspecting for a while. So you may have different time zones, but you know that about the other.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise what happens, Bill, in that moment, let's say I am more of that, I got to fix it right away, and my wife is more, hey, she needs time.
Yeah.
What happens to couples, I will think like, you are, look what you're doing to me, Laura. You are not there for me right now when I want to do a redo. And what she will say in her hurt mind is, look, Todd, look what you're doing to me. You're controlling me and making me do something I don't want to do. So I always tell couples, just so you know, in that moment, neither one of you is trying to do something to the other. You're both surviving, right? And so the truth is that I want to fix right now, and my spouse isn't ready yet, because we have different ways of going about that, and that's what is true, and God is on the throne, and we honor that about each other. So we're for a rule of engagement that says, if I'm not ready to do the redo, I want to say, but I know it's important for you, and so can we do it at this time? Would that work? Okay, so even the person that's more like introspective and needs more time, they've got to at least say that. And we know that ahead of time, because when you try to make that demand in real time, good luck, because the hurt mind will override the wise mind. That's why we have to have these proactive rules of engagement. We don't need 100 of them, you know, and like we're living in some kind of, you know, overwhelming theories and, you know, details. But, hey, we just know we get to try that again, you know, because God wants us to make peace and to make peace. So we get to do the redo, and the first rule of engagement is we know that when we're in that heightened moment initially, neither one of us has capacity, so we need a break, and we're going to come back and try a redo. And we also know when we come back, we may not be ready at the same time, but we're going to know that even if we're not ready at the same time, worst case scenario, we're not ready at the same time, we're going to practice saying, hey, can we do it this time?
Todd, it seems like families would be well for them to have one of those director's clapboard. Where they move that little black and white thing in front of the camera.
Yes.
All right, take two.
Take two. Can I add that to the, yeah, that'd be good.
By all means. I mean, it seems that would be a helpful thing. And Todd Mulliken, does anger sometimes substitute for hurt? Because to express hurt might be too vulnerable, so I'll just let it look like anger.
Anger is a secondary emotion for hurt a lot of times. So well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in a perfect world, what the redo allows us to do is it maybe helps us sort out our mailbox of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Truth comes in and goes, you know, I think that hurt came out in anger. Now, here's the other thing I said a lot to people, and I talk about this as a rule of engagement too, is like, I don't know if I want to share that I was really hurt because she might not receive it well, and then I don't want that. Then it won't go well, and I'll feel like I won't feel good about the interaction, so I don't want to share it. And then I typically say, unless it's really like an abusive situation, then we're going to do some counseling of redos first, right? So I do a lot of counseling of redos before I have couples do it on their own. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But what I say in that moment is like, you know that you're enough in Christ to just say what you feel right there, and if they spin out or shut down, they get to kind of figure that out. And you don't have to be defined by how they react as much as your own truth and honesty and vulnerability. And we know we have a covenant as a couple and as a family that we're going to try to do a redo, and we did it. And now we're trying to do some practicing in the future of new redos. And they also include, once in a while, it doesn't go perfectly. It says, because sometimes, Bill, the redo doesn't go perfectly. And so then we know as a couple that, hey, that wasn't as good as our last one, but we're learning, we're growing. So that's the other rule of engagement, that we're in this together, and when we do a redo of a redo, if you will, we focus a little bit more on what we each could have done different.
Yeah.
We're noticing about ourselves.
Yeah. We call that take three.
That's right, me too. And again, it's more, because here's what happens. Most couples come in that see me, if we're not dealing with betrayal trauma or severe abuse, we're talking about like communication struggles that are really intense, and they're in a lot of the same cycles, right? So I think some rules of engagement like that ahead of time are good.
So, Todd, if we're packing a few things in the brown paper bag for people to take home from this conversation, maybe one would be build one another up in truth, and bless others by speaking the truth. There's a couple items in the brown paper bag.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as we're blessing others by speaking the truth, we're also wanting to say, tell me what you're thinking about that, or... You know, we're in that posture of inviting the other person into the conversation and what their thoughts and feelings are, and we're validating it.
Yep. And the other thing that goes in the brown paper bag is the word stop. So you've got 30 seconds to give us those four words attached to that acronym.
S stands for stop. T stands for take a breath. O stands for I'm going to observe with the Holy Spirit's help what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. And then the P is I'm going to proceed mindfully in Christ with a reasonable choice that's regulated and that I know the Holy Spirit has heard me with and is guiding me into.
Mm-hmm. I like that. All right, Todd, thank you once again.
Thanks, Bill.
Being here, you always bring me a nice beverage from one of those overpriced coffee stores, which I love. So thank you for that. And I think next time you're going to bring one for Wyatt.
I am.
Only because Wyatt refuses.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the offer, but like you said, it's overpriced, right?
Yeah, I know, but I order a super large one.
Yeah, the hot chocolate with whipped cream is not too bad.
All right. Well,
sounds good.
We'll see what happens. All right, we'll take a little break and be right back with hour two. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.